The Lake Superior is the coldest and deepest of our Great Lakes, so if you're looking to cool off this summer, you might want to head north. There are plenty of lake towns to explore and festivals to attend. I'm Jill Nadeau, this is the Larry Mueller Show, and we are going to be talking about Lake Superior Magazine. They publish stories from the communities around Lake Superior, lots of gorgeous photos, and we have the magazine's editor with us, Connie LeMay. Hi, Connie.
Hi, Jill. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for joining us today. And if you want to ask her a question, maybe you love living on Lake Superior, you have a boat or like to sail on Lake Superior, give us a call, the number 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. So Connie, I have to admit that I did not know this magazine existed until you all sent us one.
Wow, good for us.
Yeah,
I
was like, where have you been all my life? When did the magazine start?
It actually started in 1979, and it was started by a photographer and a businesswoman who loved the area. And so they start up the magazine, which is probably why the magazine has always had a reputation for excellent photography.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very blessed with extremely generous photographers from our area who are just incredibly good and also understand that we're a regional publication and work with us and what we can afford to pay them. And but the images are always fantastic.
So oh, they are.
I'm always proud of the issues for that.
And I'm looking at the July issue right now. It's in my hands. But I'm looking at the cover with a sailing ship with actual sails on it. But the water, they got the water so perfect that you know it's freezing cold.
Well, and that's all kind of relative, you know, here in Duluth. I grew up in Duluth, and we often swim in the lake. If it's shallow enough, it can get warm. But you're right. Once you hit that deep water, you know it.
It's cold. Yeah, I grew up in Lake Michigan side of the UP. So, that's definitely a lot colder than Lake Michigan is. So, it was like we were always told if you go up there, you can't even wade in it because your feet will go numb. So.
Oh, they were joking you.
Wrong. So, you know, let's talk about all these boats that you have in this issue. How much interest do you take in boats yourself?
You know, I have to admit, and I think I mentioned it in that issue, that my mom was afraid of the water. And
So
I didn't even learn to swim properly, to be honest with you, until I was an adult. Being a nanny in the Mediterranean area, and
you notice
to go in the water.
The water's much warmer there.
Yes, it is, and it's also salt water, so
yes.
It floats much better. So I love boats, especially the big boats, and I've been on the Lake Superior Marine Museum Association board a number of times, and so I do love all things nautical, but if you've got nautical questions for me, I have to defer them to somebody who actually knows what they're talking about.
Well, nautical life is really big part of the communities around Lake Superior, isn't it?
You know, maritime, kind of like the lake itself, again, like I said, growing up here in Duluth, I never realized how much Lake Superior was my focused horizon until I moved away to college. And then suddenly there wasn't that big, beautiful water all over on the horizon. And it's the same with the maritime. I grew up just assuming everybody was seeing sailboats and ore freighters and ocean-going vessels pulling up to your shoreline right in the middle of the United States.
So there is a new book, or another edition of a pretty, it must be popular book that you wrote an article about, Bonnie Dahl's Lake Superior Way. She's an expert, obviously,
she
navigating.
She definitely is an expert and from Wisconsin. And Bonnie did what is called lovingly the Bible of Lake Superior sailing, which is Superior Way, and this is her fifth edition of that book. There's not another one like it on any of the other Great Lakes, and Bonnie and her husband were both teachers, and they spent the entire summers basically on Lake Superior, going in and out and around all of the small anchorages and the little wilderness, especially the wilderness anchorages. And there just is nothing else like having people who have been there to tell you all the things you need to know.
Yeah, so valuable. We have a call. Scott in Iron River has a question for you. Go ahead, Scott.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I was just compelled to call. My wife and I live in Iron River, Wisconsin, which is in Bayfield County, just about 15 miles from the lake. But I have some friends coming up, and we are going on a sunset paddle, a guided sunset paddle tonight. And I'm just really looking forward to it. It'll be my first time doing that off of Myers Beach to the Sea Caves. And just wondering, any comments on that, what we should be looking for? My friends who have never paddled on the big lake, and I've never paddled myself out there. And also maybe to comment on the winter time conditions. It's been a lot of years since we've been able to walk out there in the winter. So that's my question. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
And Scott, you will soon know much more than I do. Again, also have not paddled on Lake Superior, although I've been on some cruises. I will say that. Myers Beach especially, gorgeous and beautiful area, part of the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore on the mainland side. And I think what Scott was referring to are the sea caves, because the Apostle Islands are noted for sea caves on the mainland and then also on the islands, especially Devil's Island, which has just these spectacular caves carved out by the lake waters. So on Myers Beach, they'll find some really good paddling, I'm sure, along the lakeshore. And it's a highly popular space with kayakers. I should probably mention just in passing too, as a little bit of, by way of a plug, Lake Superior Magazine does an achievement award every year for groups and individuals that have significantly contributed to the well-being of the lake and the peoples of the lake. And the Friends of the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore is one of the groups that we have honored in the past. And in part, that's because they work really hard to make that lakeshore accessible to people with physical sorts of needs, but also just to local kids and stuff who may not have the wherewithal to get out on the water, like Scott's talking about. So getting the local children more familiar with their lakeshore, even if they don't have a sailboat and even if they haven't learned to kayak. So I just have to give them a plug at the same time.
Yeah,
and it
cool.
is true. It's been a long time since you've been able to walk off the mainland from Myers Beach over to the what are then called ice caves in the winter. I think it was back maybe even almost 10-plus years ago now when there was a really good, solid freezing. And people from around the world came to see the ice caves, and it was suddenly exceedingly popular. And for those tiny little areas, like around Cornucopia, it got incredibly busy for a while. And I remember the National Park Service calling for volunteers to help them direct traffic and such.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that was about 10 years or so ago. It was like everybody had to go and see these sea caves. So ice caves, I should say. Ice in the sea caves is what
there
we're talking
go.
About. Well, thanks, Scott, and have fun out there. Don't forget your personal flotation device.
That's what I was going to say. Be safe.
Yes,
definitely.
Absolutely. Now, you have other things in here besides talking about sailing and whatnot. You had an article about a fish, and it's called the Coaster Brook Trout. Now, for those who don't know it, why don't you describe this fish and why people are so excited about what's happening to it?
Well, Well, brook trout, people are familiar with, and this is in that family, but these are brook trout that have decided they want to live on a bigger water, and so they come down the streams into Lake Superior and then make Lake Superior their home, basically. And it's rare that, or at least it's been rare, that there has been a spawning population in Lake Superior, and the Minnesota DNR recently discovered some coasters that are spawning around the Minnesota shore, and so that has been very exciting for people. In Red Cliff, I believe, the band of Lake Superior Chippewa there have been helping to stalk coasters around the Bayfield area as well. And I believe there is also a spawning population up at Isle Royal.
And this, I read that because of the coldness of the lake, that it is easier for the trout to survive and flourish because they don't have the temperature variations as much. Is that right?
Especially as we progress in our current conditions, yeah, the lake in some ways can be more consistent, especially if fish can go deep. I'll tell you also a little known side fact about one of my favorite trout in Lake Superior. There's also lake trout, of course,
uh-huh.
And there is a kind of lake trout called a fatty lake trout or siskowet, which also is well known around Isle Royal. And a few years ago I read, and I'm hoping this is a true fact, if you want to say that, but I had read that there was that these siskowet deep water fatty lake trout, 5% of their diet, can you guess what it is?
No, tell me.
Songbirds.
Really?
Oh, and God. That is because Lake Superior is a migration flyway. And sadly, not all of the little birds make it all the way across. And apparently the trout take advantage of that.
Oh, my gosh. So do they actually jump out of the water and grab these little birds?
No, I think sadly the birds just don't make it all the way over, and so they're in the water when the fish are looking for food. I took a tour to a cruise to Isle Royal one time from you can take it both from the Minnesota shore and from the Keweenaw Peninsula, and I do remember some tiny little sparrow birds landing on the ferry and just looking exhausted and being very happy there was a ferry they could take a break on.
I'll bet. Well, we're talking with Connie LeMay. She is the editor of Lake Superior Magazine. If you have a question or a comment about life along Lake Superior, give us a call. 800-642-1234. If you want, you can send an email. It's talk@wpr.org. And this is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. Larry's back tomorrow, and we're going to talk about biofuels and then a shipwreck that was just discovered in the Fox River. And then we'll wrap things up with a look at centipedes. That's tomorrow, starting at 11 right here. Right now, we are talking about the Great Lakes. The wonderful magazine that's called Lake Superior. And tell me, Bonnie, or Connie. I'm sorry. I was looking at
That's
Bonnie.
Okay.
It's Connie with a K.
Yes.
I bet you say that a lot. Anyway, tell us how people can get this magazine.
Oh, well, the magazine is available. We only do a print edition, so you're not able to access it online only. So we do have a website for the magazine, lakesuperior.com, pretty simple. Through there, you can get our weekly e-newsletter that we call Around the Circle This Week. And that is, I call it lovingly, the Huffington Post of Lake Superior. It's kind of a roundup of all four shores. Yeah, because the magazine and the newsletter cover the lake's four shores, Ontario, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Michigan. But if you want to order the magazine, go to lakesuperiormagazine.com. That's our retail website, and that has subscriptions to the magazine. We have a whole retail branch, so we have a number of gift items related to Lake Superior or produced around Lake Superior, and other items that people might like a Lake Superior wall calendar.
Ah, with all your beautiful pictures in it.
That's right. Not mine, but somebody's good. Wonderful looking pictures. Hey, I have a quick question for you, though, Jill.
Yeah.
You grew up, you said, by Lake Michigan. Have you been to Lake Superior? Do you have a favorite spot?
Oh, God. You know, 2 weekends ago, I was up in Munising. Because it's not too far from where I grew up. Just go up Highway 13, and there it is. And I took the boat out for the first time in like 20 years. I enjoyed myself so much. It was beautiful. The weather was a little on the cool side and had rained, but all of the beautiful cliffs and things were just gorgeous. So that's my favorite spot.
Pictured Rocks, National Lakeshore. I believe that Lake Superior, well, there were only four national lakeshores. Two of them are on Lake Superior, and then one recently became a park. And so there are only, I think, three left, and two of them are here on our lake.
Isn't that great? Yeah, it's just magnificent. And I always think it's funny when people who are not from the area come up and say, this isn't a lake, it's way too big. and it really is. So, you know, but you know, it looks wonderful, but it can be a little scary sometimes. Michael DeWitt wrote a really nice piece about a storm on the lake that he went through a couple of years ago. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, Michael, by the way, is one of those magnificent photographers who we work with quite a bit. And his home area is the Apostles. And so he was talking about a storm that came up fairly suddenly, and that is what happens with Lake Superior. The people who sail know to be very careful about what the conditions are looking like. And so Michael always is. But in this case, they ended up going out to the islands and getting caught on it. And he ended up trying to maneuver his motorboat, powerboat, into a better position and ended up not having power and just riding the storm, basically. Oof. And so he did a story about that called The Lake is Boss. And he's besides being a great photographer, he's an excellent storyteller. And so this is his story. It's Lake Superior Journal. We have at least one first person experience around the lake in the magazine. And so that's what that one is. It's Lake Superior Journal.
Okay. And of course, Lake Superior has water, but there's also so many good trails for hiking or ATV and biking. Why don't you tell us some of the ones that are in Wisconsin, the recreational trails?
Yeah, we and that's we have kind of a roundup story this issue on You've Got Trail, it's called, and we talk about some of the trails people can go on around the lake, both hiking and biking. And among the major ones in what we would call the extended Lake Superior neighborhood, of course, are the trails taken care of by the Shequamigan Bike Organization. But there's also the Lakeshore Trail that's along the mainland unit of the Apostles. And this, again, is by the Myers Beach and the Sea Caves. That trail is a little, especially as you go further along the shore, it is a little more challenging. And so you kind of have to watch for those sorts of things. But then even Bayfield has the Brownstone Trail within it, which is a nice trail a little bit inland. And then there's just some wonderful areas around the lake and around the region. Relatively new to the lake is the Frog Bay National Park, Tribal Park.
Oh,
and that was created by the Red Cliff Band, and that has a loop, a trail loop that goes along the lake and then inland a little way.
How are the black flies and other flying insects up there this year?
You know, so far, in at least in the Duluth neighborhood, it hasn't been too bad. And weirdly, mosquitoes haven't been too bad. And I think that's because it's been a bit dry on some shores. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not true all over. In fact, we've had flash flooding around some regions of our area. But here in Duluth, we haven't been as wet as we would normally like.
Okay. Well, if you don't like mosquitoes, then head for that side of the
lake.
There
you go. Speaking of ships and shipwrecks, though, I should probably make sure people know that this is the 50th anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And so there will be a number of commemorative things happening both here around the lake, but also around the Great Lakes to honor those 29 crew members who perished in that 1975 wreck. And in our October-November issue, we'll be talking about many things connected to the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. Although it kind of depresses me because I was in high school when that went ahead. So if it was 50 years ago.
Me and me.
Like, dang, where'd the time go, right?
That's right.
That's another great place to visit is the Shipwreck Museum up in Whitefish Point, right? Whitefish Point.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. An excellent place to go. And then Duluth has a Maritime Visitor Center that has some good exhibits right by the aerial lift bridge. So mm-hmm. for maritime places to visit, those are two good places, although we have great heritage sites all around the lake.
Yes. And speaking of Duluth, you kind of closed up the magazine with a little story on Uncle Harvey's mausoleum, which I thought was pretty interesting. Tell us about that.
Well, there is a concrete structure half just kind of lying off the shoreline of Duluth. And it's shaped somewhat like a boat hull. And so people often say, "What is that thing?" and it was created as a place. I believe they were going to do sand and gravel, and the idea was that the boats would come in, they'd unload there, and then it would be easier than coming into the harbor area and cheaper, I'm assuming, is what they also thought would be happening. But the thing about being exposed to Lake Superior is that you are exposed to Lake Superior.
Yes.
So that structure was built in 1919, and I think it had to close by 1922, in part because of the continual damage that the lake was doing to it. And the structure's still there, which does say something about it, because there are a number of things that have actually physically been moved by the lake. So it is still there, and I wouldn't recommend it, but I do know that some young folk here from Duluth occasionally will use it as a diving platform.
Oh, I can see that. But you really need to know what you're doing and what's under the water there.
Yes, and be very aware of whether we are at high tide, so to speak, or low tide,
yeah.
Whether you're having a fish or not.
Right. Now, speaking of which, you have a information in the magazine about lake levels. Why do you publish that?
Oh, you know, partly it is tradition because having the magazine start in 79, there weren't quite as many online opportunities,
none
basically, for some of this information. So a lot of this you can get updated quite quickly. And this particular chart that we use is from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And it shows the lake levels, and people are curious about it every issue, especially people who have been following the lake and what's happening on the lake for years to see if the lake levels are up or down and what kind of trends we're having.
And there is kind of an ebb and flow. Is it like every 10 years the lakes get really high and then they go really low and then they come back, right?
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know if it's quite cyclical as much as you think. It does happen mm-hmm. With some regularity, but Yes, there is definitely that ebb and flow of the lake. And one of my favorite quotes was by someone with the Port Authority here many years ago, who has since passed. But he said that the maritime industry always got blamed when we have high levels on Lake Superior, because they said they flooded it specifically so the boats could be, have better position. And he said, but nobody calls to thank us when there's a low lake level.
It's amazing, isn't it, how that works?
That is right.
Well, Connie, we have had such a great conversation with you, and hopefully we can have you back again and talk about the next issue with us. That would be great.
Oh, that'd be delightful. Thank you so much for the invitation.
You're welcome, and keep us on your list of sending magazines out, okay?
We will. I'll put you on there.
Wonderful. We've been talking with Connie LeMay. She's the editor of Lake Superior Magazine. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk about biofuels and a shipwreck and also centipedes, if you're into centipedes. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you to our crew, Claire Neipert, Joel Pattenaud, Lee Rayburn, Jeff Robbins, and, of course, Larry Mueller. I'm Jill Nadeau. Thank you for joining us today. Have a great one.